to Pop a la Carte number 58. This week we have a Doctor Who trailer to discuss. Yay!
Woo!
Coming so soon, and I'm so excited. Anyway, but that's for later. Some interesting DC news from all aspects, film, television, and comics, because some strange things went down in the comics. There's going to be a live-action Airbender. Angela has a bit of a review on Dragon Prince, which is a series that was debuted on Netflix just like a week ago, yeah?
Yep.
And Tatiana talked to us about Miss Sherlock.
Yep.
And then I will have a slightly late but still relevant review of a house with a clock that's in its walls.
Always relevant.
I am Valerie.
I'm Tatiana.
And I'm Angela.
Okay, so we're going to start with the Doctor Who trailer, which I think the funny thing is that, of course, the first thing I saw was, like, people complaining, because they're like, why is there a pop song in it? I'm like, why? Because it's relevant and it works. Like, just let it go.
Yeah.
People are dumb.
It's relevant just like Doctor Who is relevant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a new pop songs and, like, premiere or the second episode of the reboot.
Yeah. Seriously. There was a lot of pops. Like, Toxic is in the second episode of New Who.
Yep.
Crazy. Britney Spears. So, whatever. And the Doctor dances on it, too, because he likes it. So, whatevs. Let the pop music flow.
Let the pop music flow.
I am... Yeah. I don't, says the girl who doesn't even listen to pop music, but that's okay. Except when it's in Glee. That was like the only time I actually listen to pop music. Or when it's a Doctor Who, because I actually have a Doctor Who album that I made, and it does have Toxic on it.
Mmm.
It was relevant to Doctor Who. Anyway, so it looks fun. Like, it's hard to tell because there's not a lot to the trailer. It's hard to get a lot from the trailer, except that, you know, like, exciting Doctor Who stuff.
Yeah. I mean, it gives, like, a fun vibe, right? Like, I like how the characters feel. I don't really know much, you know, I don't have any concrete information based on it, but, like, just, like, that little moment where they were, like, you know, like, says who, and they're like, her, right? Like, or, like, why should we listen to her? And, like, we said so. I don't know. That was really cute.
Yeah, no, I really like that dynamic, that, like, the sense of the dynamic we're getting from them already.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
That they all seem, like, close to each other.
Yeah, I saw somebody trying to complain about the fact that there's three companions, and it's like, but why not?
Yeah.
It's more interesting than just two people.
Right, and I'm sure they'll all fulfill a different function, you know?
Yeah.
And we've technically had that many, even not at the same time. Well, actually, no, we have had that many at the same time. The first Doctor had the, you know, teachers and his granddaughter. And
yeah, he had three.
Yeah. And we've had that at times with Amy, Rory, and River at the same time.
Yeah. And also, for a tiny, tiny bit with Nine, it was Nine, Mickey, Rose, and Jack.
Yep. Yep.
I think people just don't like it because you have to have the super special companion. Like, they can't let go of that, like, dynamic of the, like, dude, except she's a woman, but still, like, I don't know.
Yeah. Like, right now, it's like they don't know which one is the super special companion because there's three of them being introduced at the same time. I can see that.
And they're all special, and I love it.
Yes. I think it's going to be great. And they're not companions. They're friends.
Yes! That's
the word we're using now. Which is cool.
I like it. Yeah. I like it. No, I'm like, I'm suddenly right, like, hugely back in to Doctor Who. I was, like, so ennui with it, and I'm really into it. And I'm like, I'm going to be at my parents' the night of the premiere, and I'm, like, trying to remember if my dad gets BBC America or not.
It's premiering the last day of New York Comic Con. And, of course, BBC America, even though they are in freaking New York, aren't doing anything at New York Comic Con.
That's so weird.
I don't understand that. Anyway, I know, it's so stupid. Anyway, so I don't think I'll get to see it till the next day when I get home.
That's sad.
Sad to me.
Yeah, that's not right.
Because I think I have, like, a press room until 6 o'clock at night. So, yeah, I probably won't actually get to see it till the next day, which makes me super sad because I'm really excited, but that's okay. Whatever, I get to see it. It's all that's all that matters. But it sounds like from people, I don't know if there's actually, like, it sounds like some people may have gotten a screener or seen part of it already.
Yeah.
And from what I've heard, it sounds like they don't make, like, there's no real, okay, the Doctor's a woman now, moving on.
Right.
It's not like, oh my god, you're a woman, or oh my god, I've changed. You know, it's just, oh, okay, this is me now.
Whatever. Yeah. Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that. Because he's previously made flippant comments about not being a woman yet, right? So.
Yeah. Like, I don't, you know, he's always addressed things about himself that have changed. So if he's like, oh, hey, look, I'm a woman this time. Okay. And then he just moves on and it's not a big deal. And now she's a, he's a she. Like, that's cool. So I'm hoping it really is that that's true. That, you know, the doctor just doesn't care. Because there's more adventures to be had and people to save.
Yep.
And that's all that matters.
Yep. So I like that. I think it's gonna be fun.
Yeah. So hopefully that's all it is.
I like this, bookending our podcasts with the exciting trailers of women stuff coming
out. That's true. I was going to say, like, it sounds like this trailer did its job like the Captain Marvel one did, right? Because I was not that I was unexcited for Doctor Who, but I just wasn't really thinking about it. And then I saw the trailer and I'm like, oh, that's right. I'm so ready.
Matt was asking me the other day whether or not I was going to catch up because I didn't watch the last two seasons. I watched the Christmas special at Christmas. I think I talked about it because I was in Wales. So, you know, if you're in the UK, you watch the Doctor Who Christmas special.
Of course.
I may eventually go back and watch Capaldi's last two seasons, but I've heard they're better.
Yeah.
They all seemed cool, but I don't know if, like, I made the conscious choice to not watch, I'm not going to rush to watch them now, that I feel like maybe where I left it was fine. And I'm just starting over.
Yeah. That's how I'm going to handle it, too. I'm not going to watch those seasons until... Or not those seasons, but what I've left to watch. Until such a time as I'm, like, so into the new season that I'm like, wow, I want some new episodes, you know?
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah. It's a fresh start. It's a good time to just start fresh and not have the baggage of the past. And I had thought about going back and watching, you know, starting with 9. Because it's been so long since I've watched them, but I was like, no, I want to just fresh start, clean slate, go into it.
Yeah.
Someday I'll go back and watch those again, because I do love them, but I don't have time right now anyway. So, yeah. Anyway, anybody else have anything else to say about Doctor Who, except that yay?
Yay is my sole thought.
Okay. In other television news... there were new Titans picks, because I think we talked about it a little bit, how they'd only released, like, one picture, but right after we did that, they released more pictures for Titans.
Mm-hmm. Yes. They released photos, like, stills for the first two episodes, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. And...
Matt said, the one photo that has, like, all of them, Matt's response was, it's like when your friends forget to try their cosplay. Like, you went all out for the cosplay, and they just got shit out of their costume.
Is that Starfire versus the others? Because she was the only one with a cool pose, and everyone else looked like they didn't know what they were doing.
Well, no, because, like, it's actually more, I think, you know, and I didn't ask him to clarify.
Mm-hmm.
But what I took from what he was saying was that she looks like she's just wearing, like, those could be just clothes out of her outfit, like, out of her closet.
Mm-hmm.
And Robin is the only one who actually has a costume.
Robin's the only one who has a costume, yeah.
Yeah. And then Beast Boy looks like the worst Photoshop ever.
Yeah, I was going to say, Beast Boy's got the shortest end of the stick there, because I feel like that's, like, really his only, I don't know, he doesn't look great there, and then he didn't really get that much else, like, photo-wise.
It looks like his face was photoshopped onto that body.
Yeah.
Like, not even his head. It's the face. The facial features were photoshopped onto somebody else's body.
Yeah.
It's a really bad image.
I don't know why they did that. And then Raven just looks like emo grunge, whatever, nonsense.
Yeah.
But I'm still, like, confused, like, why they won't show Starfire out of that costume. Because that's the only outfit they show her in. And then they don't have photos of her in episode 2, probably because she's wearing something else.
Yeah, I it doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
And also,
I'm not sold on the show at all.
Nope, me either. Minka Kelly's wig is also ugly, and I don't understand why they did that to her.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I guess I'm slightly, like, I feel like it looks slightly better now than it did from that first trailer, but it's not saying much, you know?
Yeah. They're not convincing anyone I know to pay for the service with the show.
Yeah. And I'm still confused as to why that's... Like, has anyone even gotten the service yet? Has anyone, like, reviewed it? Like, because it already exists, yeah? It's, like, it's already available, right?
I should ask my brother, because he is obsessed with it. Although not for Titans, because he wants Young Justice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm going to see my brother on Saturday, and I might be like, okay, like, did you buy it yet? If so, tell me.
Exactly. Explain it.
Why? Because he's the only one who cares about this service at all, and it's literally just for Young Justice. Like, for him, that's the only thing he's paying for, and everything else is just there.
I was going to say, Young Justice, I understand that. People have been waiting for that.
Yeah.
But Titans...
I mean, he likes most of their animated movies.
Yeah.
Movies as well. So, like, you know... Yeah, their set photos are terrible. But they're set photos, and that's why people should not look at them unless they're willing to accept that they're, like, set photos that you took.
So going to your... question if anybody's actually tried it yet. I know one person who I know was saying something on Facebook about the like live show that they're doing and basically said it was a train wreck.
Oh, really?
Because there's like 20 people on it and it's just chaos and he's like, why is John Barrowman even there? Because it doesn't actually make any sense that he's there.
Oh my gosh.
And yeah, they were just like, this is not good.
That sucks.
So... And it's somebody I know who absolutely loves everything that DC does.
Oh, that's like sad.
So, yeah.
Uh-oh.
He said it just feels like a vanity piece, but there's no real reason to it.
What reason do they currently have to be vain? No, I'm just kidding.
But yeah, so I don't know what the point of it is, and it doesn't sound appealing. When does Titans actually premiere?
Beginning of October. I think it's like in a week.
Wow.
I think we did get the invite from the New York Comic Con press room, but I have no idea if we'll be in it or not. And I probably won't do it myself. I'll probably let Andrew do it because he's the DC fan, but I don't know if he'll want to. I may usually make him do the DC stuff. So.
I would review it, but I won't have DC Universe, and they don't love me, so...
Does somebody actually want to watch the show?
I don't want to, but I'm gonna watch it anyway, probably, so I'd rather do it legally.
is it like a... It's just a train wreck you can't look away from.
Yeah. Like... Yeah, kind of like, I can't, I just have to know, I just have to know.
Just how bad it might be.
Yeah.
I mean, we hope we're wrong, right? It's always a thing. Like, I would definitely rather be completely wrong and have something amazing happen, but
mm-hmm.
I'm not exactly thrilled. I don't know. That's the problem. Is I've already been burned so many times by DC. You know?
Oh, yeah.
I'm getting to that point with Marvel Television, to be honest. Which is the only reason that, like, with the Loki and Scarlet Witch shows, I'm like, okay, I'm giving them a pat. Like, I'm excited about them more because it's fighting. But, yeah. Superhero television shows have not been... I love S.H.I.E.L.D. Agent Carter then got canceled. Jessica Jones was good. And then
for a season.
And so, yeah.
I liked the first season of Luke Cage.
Yeah, I liked the first season of Luke Cage, too.
The Punisher first season was actually really good. I loved The Flash when it started, and then it just got old for me.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't actually start Arrow until halfway through, like, the second season, I think. And then it, you know, died. I never liked Supergirl, to be honest. And I only ever watched one episode of Legend. So,
yeah, alas.
I want to love my superhero television shows, but they just keep, like, ruining it. Cloak and Dagger was amazing. Runaways, not so much. Can't win. I don't know. Anyway, moving on to other things that are not amazing in the world of DC, superhero television. I cannot believe the Joker movie with Joaquin Phoenix is actually happening.
I know. Yeah. I didn't know it was even...
filming it until those, like, pictures came out?
Yeah, I had no idea it was filming. And then the pictures came out, and I was like, wait a second. And it was funny because for a day, the photos actually looked good. Like, the photos of him, like, meeting whoever. I don't remember. The first photos I got, I was like, oh, this doesn't look bad. And then they released, like, a picture of him in the makeup. And I was like, now he just looks like a terrible clown. So, never mind.
Yeah. Plus, you know what? Like, it didn't ban, like, him as the Joker. That doesn't mean that I want to watch a Joker movie at all.
Oh, for sure. For sure. I wouldn't be interested in the movie itself anyway, but I'm just impressed that it's happening, I guess. I don't understand why that's happening. And then also Harley Quinn and Joker is happening. And they said it's going to be a cross between Bad Santa and This Is Us, which...
Oh, God.
What?
Yes!
I just think that, like, I guess it depends on how they do it, crossing Bad Santa with This Is Us. But you had a disturbing number of people who were probably young, but still, like, thinking relationship goals after Suicide Squad. And I'm just like, why would you encourage that by making a movie about them?
Yeah, it doesn't make sense.
No. And I want to know, who was there a great cry for a Joker movie?
I don't think so.
I feel like there's not a great outcry for much that DC are actually doing. Like, there's stuff people want, but that's not what they're making. People want another Superman movie, and now we're probably never going to see one. Like, or not anytime soon.
I feel like people want the Birds of Prey or Gotham City Sirens, which is like we're getting one of those or both or
yes,
something.
Yes, we're getting Birds of Prey. That's going to come out apparently February 2020.
Okay. Yes. So is that what Gotham City Sirens became? Like,
I think so. I think that they switched Gotham City Sirens for Birds of Prey.
Okay, sure. What I want is Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy as a couple of movie. Not her and Joker. But I'm probably not going to get that.
Definitely do not want her and Joker. Like, I'm just, ugh.
Because I'm assuming it's going to be her and Jared Leto Joker, yeah?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, nobody wants any more of Jared Leto.
Yeah, and no version of Harley Joker is good, but I especially don't want Jared Leto Joker back.
I literally don't want to have to look at him ever again. And so I'm going to. In fact, I hated looking at him so much that I didn't want to look at the pictures of Joaquin Phoenix in the Joker. I was just like, I am so over this right now.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I've seen people compare the pictures of him just, like, in regular clothes to Rain Man. And then...
Oh, yeah.
His character, like, we don't know any... Like, this is an entirely new version of the Joker, yeah?
Yes, this is not related at all to the one that we've seen so far in the DC.
Well, not even that, but, like, it's his name is not a name that the Joker has ever used in the comic books or anything.
Right,
like,
I mean, the Joker...
That's what's really confusing to me, too, is that they're going forward with Joker movie that will be Jared Leto, but they're also doing this? Like...
Yes.
Yeah, and Joker shouldn't have an identity. Like, he doesn't have a name, you know? So giving him one is weird. And I guess every once in a while they've called him Jack Napier or whatever, but you don't know that that's his real identity. So I don't know. I just think it's weird to start with something that looks like it's going to be an origin story when the whole point of Joker is that you don't know his origin story.
Yeah.
That's not the whole point. There are other points to Joker, but...
Created, like, he evolved, like, he emerged because of Batman.
Yeah.
That's all we know, right?
Yeah, and how are you going to do a Joker movie without Batman? Ugh, whatever. Okay, I'm done. It's fine.
How are they reconciling the two of the Joker? I don't... Yeah, see? We're done.
there is zero I'm interested... Like, I don't even... Joaquin Phoenix, I can take or leave or take. Like, so, yeah, there's literally zero I'm interested in this movie. I'm just in shock that it exists, because it really just felt like another of those things where DC was throwing shit at the wall. I never imagined that it was going to be one of the... thing
that stuck
actually happened.
Yeah.
There's actually this random Joker movie that nobody wanted and nobody understands why it's being made before there is a Flash movie.
Which is wild. It's wild that they can't get the Flash movie together. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Grant Gustin has put some juju over the entire DCEU. He did that.
Who is Grant Gustin paying? Yeah. Voodoo spells to keep us from getting a Flash.
No, exactly. He was like, y'all are going to cast another Flash before my show even debuts? We'll see about that. We'll see who has the best laugh.
And I liked Ezra Miller. It's sad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, so now you have to tell me what this third thing is, because I have not heard of it.
Okay, so in a new Batman comic.
Yes, okay. For Black Label.
Yes. So for their, like, adult line. There is literally a panel where you see Batman's dick.
Like, is it the whole panel that's just his dick, or just a panel that has his dick in it?
It's a panel that has his dick in it.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like there's a reason he's naked, and it's important to the story, I guess. I don't even know what it is, but
he strips down. He strips down in order to, like, basically perform tests on himself to see if there's anything, you know.
Oh, God, here it is.
Yep, I just sent it to you. I wanted you to see it in its glory. And so, like, even in the original, it's super obscured. Like, it's in shadow. You can barely tell. But you can see, you know, that he has a penis. And then what happened, Valerie?
Well,
I mean, I guess you wouldn't have had to show it. So much of it is in shadow already anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That, like, and it would be like people would not be crying anatomically incorrect because they just shadowed it in such a way that somebody made the deliberate choice that we're going to put it here.
Yep.
Which, that's awesome.
I think it's shocking, but it's like, well, hey, no, that's entirely fair because look at the way that women are treated.
Yeah.
Portrayed in comic books. But instead of being like, yeah, why are you getting upset? Just accept it and move on. DC are like, oh, don't worry, we're going to take it out of all future printings.
Lame.
Yeah, and they had already gotten rid of it in the digital. So you can't see it in the digital version, only in the print version.
And that picture isn't even comparable to the way they treat women, because that's what the whole Hawkeye project was about. Like,
yep.
You heard of that? Where they, like, would draw the character of Hawkeye and,
in,
like, the
women's poses,
spine-bending positions that girls are in. So it's not the same just to have them be scantily clad. It's how they're being posed.
Yes.
And so that doesn't even qualify because he's standing there. He's powerful. You see all his muscles, like.
Yep. DC actually had a moment where it was like, I'm actually, like, impressed. And then they were like, oh, no, we're going to screw it up.
Yeah.
You had to know when you released it that some people were going to be upset. Like, why do it then if you're just going to undo it?
Because they're dumb. Because everybody needs to get over it. And it's like, either don't show nudity at all or just accept it. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, and if you said this is in a line that's, like, not for children, then I don't see what the problem is.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. So it was like, yeah, so Batawang is what they're calling it.
That is the best part to emerge out of all of it.
Batawang. I love it.
Yeah, Matt said that at some point in, he remembers, like, there was a, you know, because they do the sound effects, obviously, in comic books.
There was
a Batman comic once that, like, the sound effect was Bank.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what he said. I was like, funny. I don't know what it's from, but I'm like, okay, somebody put that on this. Yeah, anyway, but that's the latest controversy, which is hilarious because, like, I don't know, people are dumb. That's all there is to it. But DC, you had a moment to, like, stand up and be like, come on, it's only fair. And then instead you were like, no, we're
going to
take it out.
I know some dudes were upset because his penis is not, you know, in proportion to his wealth.
Drinkage! Hold the back kick.
Exactly!
I thought it looked fine.
Yeah, I thought it was fine, but I did see some complaints of this.
It's an average penis they wanted him to have.
Exactly. Maybe that was the point all alone. All along.
Because they've been living vicariously.
That's the real reason everyone's upset about it.
Exactly.
Yeah. They've been living vicariously through this idea of what they thought Batman's dick looked like, and now they're all upset because it's not as good as they imagined it.
That's what happens.
People are dumb. Anyway, moving on. I'm just going to keep laughing, sorry.
We don't move on, this is going to dissolve.
Yes. Okay, so moving on, Netflix announced that they are doing a live-action Airbender. I have never seen Airbender, so you guys can talk about this.
Okay, so step one, you have to go see Airbender. Although it's hard now. Nick pulled it off of everything. So before I get into my thoughts about a live-action Airbender, this means that Netflix has Airbender-related rights, correct?
Yes.
You would think so.
Yes.
Airbender back on Netflix?
Mm-hmm.
You would think so. It depends, like, because it's the same people who are doing it, yeah?
Yeah. And Nickelodeon was like, they tweeted about it. They were like, hey, this is happening, yay! So I'm like, you guys are okay with that? Can you share? Because Airbender was on Netflix, then mm-hmm. it was on Amazon, and so both Korra and Airbender were on Amazon, and now they're on nothing.
So like, I'm sure that they like would be back on Netflix in order to prepare people for the show. That only makes sense.
That's what I want. Except that the only reason for them to do that, or not to do it, would be the unfavorable comparisons that are going to emerge.
Like, on the...
They're inevitable, no matter what you
do. Yeah. That's true. That's gonna happen.
I just... Why? Like, it wasn't that long ago that it wrapped up.
It really like, wasn't.
And it's another... I mean, it's honestly how I feel about a lot of the Disney live-action, like, remake movies that they're doing. I like the ones better that do something different from the animated version. And, like, Beauty and the Beast was really underwhelming to me because it was, like, really, really, really similar.
Right.
And so this, like, an Airbender, kind of like what we were talking about at Star Wars, there is, the further that the series went and with Korra and everything, there is a huge mythology for them to delve into. So why... Are they just going to tell the same story over again?
Right. Like, doing a remake is kind of weird, but, like,
yeah.
In general, I'm like, oh, a live-action, you know, Avatar is fine by me because then you're going to be hopefully employing an all-Asian cast, you know? Or, you know, doing it appropriately as opposed to the live-action Avatar movie, you know? So
maybe that's another reason why my just hackles immediately go up, because I hear live action Airbender and I'm like,
Yeah, you remember what happened. So hopefully it won't be like that. Exactly. Yes. So I would hope it's not gonna be like that. And for that reason, I'd like want to support it if it is gonna actually, you know, cast characters appropriately and be true to the source material. But you're right, it's gonna invite criticism to begin with. And there's a lot more, there's plenty of avatars they could have chosen and not just redoing the Aang story. So I don't know.
Yeah, I'm just bored by that. Like, if I wanted to see this story told by these people, I can.
Right.
Like, it's there. So, and even a live-action movie before it happened was more exciting because movies and, you know, TV series are different mediums. But now you're talking, it's the same storytelling medium. It's just a different artistic medium.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just like... I don't know. And Airbender was such a good example of storytelling. Like, I don't know. And I'm like, my friend and I were talking, and like the first Avatar, for example, that'd be interesting. The one that they introduced us to in Korra.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The guy who was like Aladdin. Like, I would watch that. I would watch Avatar Kyoshi. I would watch, like, lots. It makes me a little nervous that going back to the well of the gang.
Right.
Because, like, the more they return to that well in Korra, the less I liked it. So, I'm worried that, okay, you did it in Korra, and I didn't like it when you did it in Korra, and now you're going to do it, like, more. And
you're going to do it more.
Why?
Yeah.
Like, I just wanted to why. Like, why? Like, just...
For money.
It's not even, like, to me, like, with Star Wars, with, like, Solo, where they were, like, who wanted a Solo movie, and they did it, because, like, Han Solo has, like, name recognition that other more obscure characters don't. Like, Airbender... is not Star Wars. It's not a household name. It's not a household thing. The only people that you're interesting are people who already care, and then they would be into the mythology and know it.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, there's also the rando people on Netflix who just watch whatever's on Netflix, so I guess they're hoping to get those people into...
A new Avatar.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, the smartest move would be to do a different story. That way there's other stories to follow from, you know, to then watch on Netflix when you're done with the live action one. But people are not usually, for some reason, people in this industry are not actually the smartest people for the industry.
If you have to give me more characters that I already know, give me a sequel to Korra where I can see Korra and Asami be girlfriends.
Yep. It's what we deserved.
It's Netflix, too. Netflix isn't going to shy away from that the way, like, a network would or Nickelodeon would.
Right.
So, in there, I mean, if you feel like we have to cling to knowing these characters, and you would still have, like, some of the gang alive. Like, theoretically, like, Toph and Katara and Zuko are all still out there.
Mm-hmm.
After Legend of Korra series is over, you could bring them in sometimes. Like, I mean, it's them, it's the people who created Airbender. And I'm always, you know, I always want more fantasy. I always want more live action fantasy well done. And right. Airbender was always very beautiful, and Korra was even more beautiful. So, like, if Netflix is willing to throw a lot of money at this, it'll look really great, and I'll probably end up watching it, and maybe I'll be like, yay, that was actually good. Mm-hmm. I take it all back.
That's the best case scenario.
Like, but I'm really skeptical. What do you think?
I was just going to say, I never watched the original. And from, if I'm going to watch it, I'm probably going to watch the original, not watch a new series that's the same thing. I'm probably going to be told worse. It would have made more sense if there's that much mythology to start something different.
Mm-hmm.
To then bring people like me who haven't seen to the other stories.
Gotcha.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with y'all. It's just that, like, it's just funny to me just because, like, my first instinct when I heard it was just like, oh, that's awesome. And then, but I agree with everything that everyone said, you know, before you guys. Everyone's all, you know, concerns, but at the end of the day.
But this should be the optimistic viewpoint, so give us the optimistic viewpoint.
No, I mean, there isn't really one, just that I'm just saying, though, that my first instinct was like, well, that's great. They're going to cast an all-Asian cast, and then we'll see Avatar, The Last Airbender, but with, you know, hopefully the culture that's behind it.
I mean, they are going to do that, right?
That's what they said they were going to do. That's why I was excited.
Because I was like, we're about to ready our pitchforks here.
Yeah, no, exactly. Because if they did it again, like the movie, then obviously burn it in hellfire. So for that reason alone, I'm like, well, that sounds cool. And it doesn't affect me negatively if it exists, because I can always watch Avatar and Korra, so I don't care. But I agree with y'all that it's going to invite the criticism, you know, that it already is inviting. So, I don't know. It's kind of, in a way, I see it like the Charmed remake, the Charmed reboot, right? Because you're doing, and even though the Charmed reboot is telling a different story, people don't like that it's using the Charmed name. So, I don't know. Either way, is it the same people that are, is it the same showrunners from Avatar?
Yes.
See, so that gives me more, that would give me more hope for it rather than less, you know? Because presumably they know their story and they know what they're going to want to add or change or whatever, you know? As long as... Oh, I don't know.
I'm just wondering if they've ever had a TV show with a CGI budget like this is going to have.
They have had... Well, I don't know. I don't know what their CGI budget was for Jessica Jones and that stuff, but it didn't look great, so we'll see.
I mean, Appa alone.
Yeah.
I fly on Appa all the time. Like,
Hopefully they've got someone else funding them. I don't know.
You have Appa, you have Momo, you've got, like, all the bending.
The bending.
The bending, you could do some more not CGI tricks, maybe, mm-hmm. for some of it, but, like...
Just go back to the olden days. Go back to, like, how Star Wars was originally made. It'll be okay.
With a giant flying Momo?
Yeah. Like how Star Wars was made. Momo just goes low. It's fine. You know, Appa's...
Sorry, not Momo. Appa.
Yeah,
Momo,
Appa. Appa just... Appa,
like, all of them sitting on top of, like, the way that, like, 1970 Star Wars...
Yes! Do it! Do it! But, yeah. That's all.
So really what it is secretly is this is the Fire Island Players' version of the story.
That would be awesome. Oh my god.
That is what I would watch. Give me those 70s graphics. And then I'm all back in. 110%.
Yes. Now. See? There you go. That's all you need. Just send them that feedback. Do it this way.
So explain to Valerie. There was an episode where they were like, it was about to be the finale of the whole series. And they all go away for a weekend to this place to take a breather because they're like teenagers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they see that there's a play based on their adventures, but like propaganda because they're on like an island that's like ruled by the like enemy nation. So it's like propaganda against them and it's like overacting and terrible and all of that. And it's the Fire Island Players. And so like low budget.
Yeah, right. It's like when in Game of Thrones, like Arya sees they put on the play that's the story of her father's execution, but it's like stupid. Yeah.
Or like in Thor Ragnarok,
yes,
the little play that Loki. Yeah. It's a lot like that. So
that's great. Mm. All right. Well, I guess we have to wait and see because maybe we'll. Did they actually say it's a complete reboot?
They just said it's a live-action Airbender by the showrunners from the animated series.
So maybe we'll get lucky, and just like the Buffy,
yep,
we'll end up finding out later, it's not actually a reboot. It's just another Slayer. So maybe we will find out that that's what it is.
It's true.
We can hope. Although I still don't get why they didn't just tell us that with Buffy, so like, why wouldn't you just tell us that now? Maybe they're waiting to see if people are upset, and then they'll be like, no, we're going to write something new.
They were like torn. The guys were like torn. They're like, I don't know, let the internet decide.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, the internet doesn't like this. Never mind, we'll move on. Did they say when it was going to happen? Because it's only been announced. Like, we don't have any information on it. No. So it's going to be at least a year away.
Yeah, I imagine. It's going to take a while.
Yeah. That much CGI, it's going to.
Because they're in locations all over the world. Like, that's just what I'm like. This, it seems like a huge endeavor for Netflix.
Yeah. Maybe they have a...
Well, and they cancel them. But I guess that's the good thing about having the completed series already existing. Is it like, if it's too expensive for Netflix for not enough returns and they cancel it, well, that's fine.
You already know the story. You've already got the whole story. Yeah.
All right. Well, moving on. Angela, I believe you had a review for us of The Dragon Prince, which is related.
It is related because some of the, not the main showrunners, but some of the other creatives behind Airbender, their next show is The Dragon Prince.
Okay.
And it manages to feel even more related because the voice actor of one of the main characters in The Dragon Prince is the voice actor of one of the main characters in Airbender.
Nice.
So I spent two episodes calling him not Sokka.
Mm. Also Baby Iris from The Flash.
Who?
Baby Iris from The Flash.
Yeah, Baby Iris plays Ezrin.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's a pretty awesome voice cast. And it's cool. It's one of the things that set Airbender apart was being, like, a Eastern-set fantasy. Like, not a default West setting. Dragon Prince is more what we would think of like a traditionally default West setting, but they made a deliberate choice to not be all white anyway, like not to whitewash it.
Uh-huh.
So there's racial diversity, and there's racial diversity in like the background as well. Mm-hmm. Like in anywhere from like the main characters to like secondary characters to just the background, there is diversity. And I remember seeing like a thread where somebody had like tweeted one of the creators about doing that. And one of the creators was like, it did take more time, but we felt that it was worth it.
That's good.
That's awesome.
So that's cool. Because you see any background scenes, you see it's like definitely like a very like diverse crowd, and that's cool. It even has a deaf character.
Oh, neat.
You haven't seen her yet, Tatiana.
No, I have
she
not.
She shows up later. Callum and Ezrin's aunt is like, she reminds you of a like, kind of like Lin Beifong.
Oh, okay.
Only like less, not quite as cranky. Like a less hard as nails still, but not as cranky.
All right.
Yeah, so that's really cool. And there's no like there's no discussion about it. She just like is. And like they kind of she can hear like people can speak to her, but she has like somebody she'll sign and she has like a guy, like people who's close to her can like hear what she says. Or understands her. But like the she also has like a translator guy and he'll like because she's, like, a little bit tough as nails sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
They've had one or two jokes where she, like, curses and he, like, changes it.
Oh.
he's, like, talking to the, like, not the king, but, like, somebody mm-hmm. important. And you see him, like, pause and be like, oh, crap. So, anyway, yeah, this story is about, there's elves and dragons and then humans and they're at war. Because humans, so it's actually the humans are kind of on the bad side. Because, like, it's not really clear what they're fighting about, like, how the war started.
Mm-hmm.
But there's, like, dark magic. Like, there were, like, natural forms of magic. And then, like, humans invented dark magic. And the dragons and the elves were like, no, not so much. Don't do that. And the human's like, I do what I want. It's kind of the sense that I got. And so they're fighting over that. And then they think that they killed the dragon king. And then everybody thinks they killed the dragon prince. But then, like, the human princes discover that actually the egg of the dragon prince still exists.
Mm.
And so they team up with this Elven assassin who was sent to kill them to return the egg to the dragon queen. And so it's their road trip adventure. And it's really interesting to me because you increase it, like, your main, you have protagonists from all sides, but, like, the princes are both young. They're, like, 14 and, like, 10. And so you love them instantly. And it's, like, but this world that we's probably the predominant point of view, this might be, like, the guys in the wrong.
Right.
Like, because you're not really clear exactly what started this war. Like, now it's just, well, the elves are trying to kill them, so they defend themselves. But it's, like, well, but why did the war start? It's kind of like if you had started Airbender from the point of view of people in the Fire Nation. Or whatever. So I think that's really interesting. And it's not, there's only 9 episodes and the season's over. And I don't know if there's going to be more or not.
I feel like it usually takes a little bit longer, but it seems like it's been all over my dashboard. So I feel like it's doing well, but.
Yeah, I would hope that there's going to be more.
And I assume it's not that expensive because it's animated.
Yeah, it shouldn't. So I'm really hoping that there's going to be more because, like, they brought, you know, they did a good season ending where, like, some of the threads from the first season were brought to a close, but the story is not over at all yet. So, and there's really only, like, one guy that you unequivocally hate and you're like, well, you're just terrible. But then, like, most of the other characters exist in these shades of gray, and that's always the most interesting. And they managed to pull that off while being a kid show.
I like that.
Because I watched it with my 5-year-old. She didn't like the first couple episodes because there was more, like, peril in those.
Oh.
But then, like, why? Like, because it was darker, because they're sort of setting it all up, you know. Once she found out that the Dragon Prince was alive, and she connected with the youngest character, Ezran, who's, like, the cutest and best in the world,
mm-hmm.
and must be protected at all costs. Like, you could tell she connected with him, and then, like, him protecting the egg, like, that was then a story she could plug into, more so than, like, when they set the stage in the rest of the first episode.
Right.
Once they were like, okay, like, they're going on a quest to bring this egg back to his mom. She's like, okay, I relate to that. Let's go. So I like that. I mean, we're picking our way through Airbender as well with her.
Oh, cool. I, too, watched the first episode of Dragon Prince with a 5-year-old. So I guess 5 is the appropriate age.
Well, how did your 5-year-old like it?
Well, she will just agree with anything that I say. So I don't actually know what she feels. Because I was like, this is good. And then she was like, yeah, it is. And I was like, I don't know that you think it's good. And then I was like, oh my god, this is like Avatar. She's like, yeah, it is. And I was like, you haven't seen Avatar. Shut up. So anyway.
It has that good blend of, like, the drama, but that the humor and mm-hmm. the same kind of writing snark, so I think it is at least some of the writers from Airbender.
Because yeah.
Definitely, especially because they cast Sokka's voice actor. Like, how long is Sokka?
Yeah.
That's just...
I definitely feel the same spirit from it. And even some of the... I mean, obviously the animation looks, quote-unquote, better because it's, like, newer. But, like, you see where, like, that sort of, like, evolution of animation.
Yeah. Although, I don't think the animation looks as good as Korra. I thought Korra's animation...
Korra was gorgeous. I don't know why.
It
just was really good.
Korra's just really beautiful. I think it's, like, different. I think it might be a different studio producing it. So, but yeah, I like the Dragon Prince, and it's an easy binge because it's, like, 9, 20, 30 minute episodes.
We always like something that's that quick.
Yeah, it was really nice. It was pleasant. I usually do not let her watch that much TV, but I was like, well, I want to see what happens. We watched it, and it was really cute, and I recommend it, and I appreciate their commitment to being diverse at all levels. I just wonder how diverse they are behind the camera.
We'll find out with a search of IMDb.
Yeah, like, it was, when they did the early stuff, my friend and I were nervous because we didn't see a lot of female characters, but they added more increasingly, and you got more faster than you did in, like, Airbender, for example.
Oh, yeah.
Airbender, you pick up on more of the female characters until season 2, and that was, like, season 1 was 20-some episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas this is, like, 9 episodes, and they already have more, so.
Improvement!
Yep.
Well, it sounds fun.
Yeah.
Sounds cute.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say I'd put it on my list, but, like...
You won't. You don't have time.
You're lying.
I want to, but, like, it'll be on my list, but that doesn't mean I'll ever get to it.
But at least it's really, like, it's short, right? Like, each episode's, like, 20 minutes, and there's only 9 of them, so really...
That totally helps.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm starting to get to that point a lot of my other press friends have told me about where they can't watch anything unless it's for something they're doing.
Right.
You know? Where it's like, okay, I have this interview, so I have to watch these things. It's starting to feel like that. Which is not as fun as you would expect. Yeah. Anyway. But it sounds cute. It sounds like something I would like. So maybe someday Netflix will invite me to a thing and I'll have to watch it all.
Yeah. Oh, wait, and it is, by the way, the head writer and director of Avatar The Last Airbender. So.
Okay.
Cool. All right. Now, moving on, I believe Miss Tatiana has a recommendation for us.
I do have a recommendation. And it is Miss Sherlock, which is the Japanese version of Sherlock, where Sherlock is a lady, as you can see from the title. And it just came on HBO. Like, now you can watch it on HBO Go or HBO Now, whatever HBO is called now. And obviously, if you have the actual...
I think it depends on how you pay for it.
Yeah. However, whatever version of HBO you have, it should be available for you to watch. It is 8 episodes. And Yuko Takuchi plays Sherlock. Of course, her real name is not Sherlock. She just goes by Sherlock. And Shihori Kanjia is Watto, who is a female version of Watson. And she just came back from, like, being a doctor in Syria. She was, like, a volunteer in Syria. And there was, like, you know, a traumatic event occurred to her while she was there, which is why she's come back. Only for more traumatic things to happen to her when she arrives. And thus she ends up living with Sherlock. So, the interesting thing about it, for me anyway, is that, like, it's very clearly Sherlock. Like, you can tell, like, obviously her name is Sherlock, and you can see when you have Mrs. Hudson, very clearly that's Mrs. Hudson, right? Like, all the characters are, like, okay. Even though they have different names, you can tell who they're meant to be. But unlike BBC Sherlock and a lot of Elementary, the cases don't have any correlation to the Arthur Conan Doyle cases. Like, we did not start with a study in, you know... Pink, yeah. Scarlet, whatever. I've only seen 2 episodes so far of the 8, but both cases were, I would say, like, very unique to Japanese culture, which was interesting. Cool. And there's like a lot of emotional, like the first case especially has, like, Watto has a lot of emotional investment in it because that's, like, the thing that happens to her. Like, she comes back and then, like, her friend dies. Like, immediately. So, it's, like, her friend who's dead. So, like, there's like, a reason for her and Sherlock to connect beyond just, like, I want to do something else with my life. Which is interesting. And then second episode, the case came from Mrs. Hudson's friend. So, I was like, oh, okay, I see. We're, like, doing whatever we're doing here. But the actress that plays Sherlock is awesome. Like, she's very, like, she's, you know... as sarcastic and, like, she's like a troll. Like, she lives to troll people, especially, like, the police. And she and Watson, like, really don't like each other at first, but obviously they're drawn to each other. So I like that she's just, like, more act. Like, she just has fun annoying people, but at the same time, she's super likable. So I don't know how she does it. Because at first, I guess it's kind of like the Johnny Lee Miller version, more so than I would say the Benedict Cumberbatch version, in that Johnny Lee Miller is just, like, having fun annoying people, but also, like, at the end of the day, you're just like, oh, I just want to give you a hug. Like, you're not that bad. So, yeah. So it looks good, and I call it really cute, but, like, the stuff that's happening in the cases is really dramatic and bad, so it's not cute. It's upsetting, but cute. I don't know. If you can stand subtitles and you want to... learn a little bit about Japanese culture through the lens of a story you've probably seen 30 times, then you should definitely watch Miss Sherlock. And there is, you know, I would say roughly the same amount of, I don't even know what you'd call it. Do you call it hoye when it's 2 girls? Femslash? Whatever you want to call it. Between Watto and Sherlock as there is in the BBC Sherlock version. Except, of course, I'm sure that, you know, no one would be screaming that they have to make it canon because it's not two white dudes. So they'll be okay with the amount that there is.
This is why it's more interesting if you're just going to remake a familiar thing than it's an international remake, because then there is automatically something new to be brought to the table.
Right.
Yeah. That's very true.
Yes.
And this is interesting because HBO ever delved into, like, Asian dramas before.
Yeah, I don't know.
That does seem, like, really... I'm surprised to find that it's that. Because when you said it earlier, I was like, is it really HBO?
I mean, right, it's not, like, they brought it over, like, they didn't make it. They just, I guess, bought the rights to show. But yeah, but I'm still surprised that it was on there, too, because... And it was just,
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, it was just, like, random, like, I just saw them tweet, like, oh, you asked for it, and now it's finally here, Miss Sherlock, and I was like, what?
Yeah, and their tweet was like, now you can stop pirating it.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm like, well, HBO goes, so...
Still technically, it's still happening.
So still
that is the one thing that made me a little, like, I'm less nervous because it's a Japanese drama, and, like, I don't even understand about rights for Japanese dramas. They're, like, few and far between.
Yeah.
But I was like, if it was a K-drama, I would start getting nervous because I was like, the last thing I need is another streaming service.
Right.
Trying to buy these rights up.
Right.
Maybe that's what HBO are doing then, because they're like, well, this is a market that hasn't been tapped as much, but might still potentially have people interested.
I felt like there's a lot of interest. I feel like the lack of tapping is more on the Japanese side from the little bits that I've heard.
Oh, like they're not interested in branching out?
Not as much, no.
Right. That makes
sense. That's why a lot of the dramas that are on Netflix that are J-dramas really feel very samey, whereas, like, what I've heard in, like, podcasts from people who watch more J-dramas, they're not like that at all. If you're, like, watching all of J-dramas, it was, like, Japan actually had, I think it's, like, gone now, but they had, like, a government, like, department that was, like, dedicated to, like, trying to get the culture out, but they had, like, a very narrow view of what they wanted that to be. And so that's why, like, the dramas that you got all seemed kind of samey, because it was, like, what some old dudes thought you wanted.
Right.
Or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the sense that I've gotten, but I have no clue, because I don't follow a lot of J-drama stuff myself, because it's too hard to find. So.
I can help you find them. In my super legal ways. Them.
It's just, you know, like, K-dramas are, like, so easy. Like, I already know, like, I'm more plugged into that. But I see, right. I watch a couple J-dramas a year, usually.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's my super mini review of Miss Sherlock so far. I'm sure it'll be, you know, like, less, like, the cases are going to be less, like, oh, wow, than the original cases. Because those are, you know, masterful. But they're pretty good.
Whatever, I don't care about that.
Yeah.
So, I'm a characters person.
Yes.
I need the cases to be good, but the characters also have to be compelling, so it's a little bit of both. Although I probably care about the characters more than anything. It depends on what I'm watching. If I'm watching, like, CSI, I don't really care about the characters that much, but if it's a
character... It sounds like it'll be less frustrating than the K-drama female Sherlock.
I forgot about that one.
They had the second season, the super rare second season. They had it, and all the fans still seemed pissed off when it was over. So it's like, well.
Oh, well then. Doesn't okay.
Doesn't get it together to give people what they wanted after the second season, so goodbye.
Sucks.
A not-British version of Sherlock. Don't watch the K-drama one, watch the...
Japanese one.
Okay. You're going to watch something different. That's what I'm getting from.
Yes.
Cool, so that's on... HBO something or other.
Yes, any version of HBO that you have.
Whichever version. I think it's HBO Go if you have the channel.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's HBO Now if you only subscribe to the streaming.
Ah, okay.
I believe. I think that's what it is. Why there's two different ones, I don't know. But, you know, whatever. I have a lot of problems. I have HBO Go when it's a pain in the ass because half the time it doesn't work properly.
Mm-hmm.
And HBO don't seem to care. So, you know, whatever. Anyway, my turn. Although, this feels a little later, but it's probably going to lead to more, so it's relevant. I saw, when was it? A week and a half ago? I don't know what day it is anymore. Anyway, I saw The House with a Clock in Its Walls, and it's the first book in a series about a little boy who his parents die, and he goes to live with his eccentric uncle who turns out to be a wizard. And there's magical things that happen in the house. And the next door neighbor, so the wizard dude, I can't remember anybody's names because I'm terrible at this point, is played by Jack Black, who is just being Jack Black. And so you pretty much know what you're getting from that. And then the neighbor is Kate Blanchett, who is amazing because she's always amazing. The story is really cute. It's very young. It's funny. It feels young to me in a way. Like, it's been compared to Harry Potter because there's a series and he's a boy wizard, blah, blah, blah. It feels younger to me than Harry Potter, but I've only seen, obviously, the one story and I've never read the book, so I don't know if it matures as well as Harry Potter does, because obviously if you go to the first ones, his parents still die, but they're not, it's not some, at least not as far as I can tell, some big, like, mystery, they just died. There is, you know, it's wizardry, so there is some, like, dark story. There is a reason there's a clock in the walls, which I just thought, all I could think every time I saw any of the posters was, how is that going to sell the movie? Just feels strange, but it seems to work, and I didn't even know it was a book until I came out of it and was looking at something afterwards. You know, they were talking about it being a series. I'm like, oh, okay, that makes sense. So it could be the Universal's answer to Harry Potter. But I don't know, it's just kind of sweet. There was one part where I wasn't sure about the child actor who's the lead. He has to cry about his parents, and I honestly thought he was going to start laughing, like, joking about being upset. Because, like, the way he's crying is so laughable. I was like, well, he's joking, obviously. And I was like, oh, no, he's supposed to be actually upset. I'm like, he's not doing a very good job of this. But it's over the top and campy, so maybe that was intentional. But it just kind of took me out of the movie for a minute. But there's a couple of moments where I was like, that we didn't really need that, but I had to remind myself this is a children's story, so they probably would find that funny. And I just find it gross, because, like, I'm not a gross-out humor kind of person. And there's just a moment later where I was like, oh, God, that's just disgusting. I don't care. but, yeah, it was sweet. Both Jack Black and Kate Blanchett are really fun.
Good.
And you get really attached to a chair, which I think is hilarious.
A chair?
Like, literally. Because, like, there's parts of the, like, things in the house are alive. And so it has a personality. It's basically like their dog.
Oh, so it's like Beauty and the Beast.
It's really kind of sweet. Like, I was like, there's a part where it gets hurt and you're really upset because you're like, no, not the chair.
Oh.
Which I thought was really funny. But, yeah, it's just, I think it's really sweet. I think it's a really good kids movie. It's fun. They have to be able to take some darkness, but it's not, like, over the top. Like I would say the Harry Potter movies are far darker. So if they can take Harry Potter, I think they can take House of the Clock as well. And I would watch more, because I thought it was very sweet.
Oh, good.
I don't want to go into more. I don't want to ruin it, but yeah. Kyle MacLachlan, there's one part where the CGI on him is really weird, but that's okay. I like him, so. I'm like, oh, Kyle MacLachlan's getting work. Yay. That's not Twin Peaks, because, you know, apparently that second season, or that new series was very frightening. And it's awful. So, anyway. But yeah, I would recommend it. I would say it's just good, silly fun.
Good.
Which is always
nice. Yeah, that's cute, though.
Yeah, I think it was really fun. And, you know, just go to watch it to fall in love with a chair.
I live for chairs.
I saw it in a crowd. Like, it was a press screening, but they had a lot of families that came, and the kids really seemed to like it.
So, oh, good.
It speaks well of it, yeah. And I think that's it. That is the end of our show.
Well, it was a good one.
Thank you for joining us for another Pop a la Carte. As always, go to withitaccent.com for news, reviews, interviews, etc. Especially because we are going to have lots of coverage from New York Comic Con coming up. Yay! So many interviews. Just kidding. I'm Woo! Surprised, by the way, that New York Comic Con, I have actually gotten most of the invites, like, came before last week. Usually it's really late, but I'm only getting a few now. I was really happy, because I'm like, thank you for giving me notice.
Aww.
So I can figure things out. I'm still getting, I mean, like, all the CBS stuff came today. So, not everybody was ahead of time, but a lot of them were, so that makes me happy. Anyway, going back to follow us at With an Accent on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Tumblr, and With an Accent TV on YouTube, which is going to be obviously very relevant for New York Comic Con, and follow the podcast at Pop a la Carte Pod on Facebook and Twitter. Thank you for joining us. Bye.
Bye. Bye.